This is Tim Willett. Cambridge 105
Radio. It has just gone 5:30 on Friday afternoon, and it is now time to officially open the Friday Food Club. And Jamie is here, the resident drive chef. Hello.
How are you? You all right?
I'm good. Nice to see you again.
It's great to be here again.
And you brought a friend with you today.
Yeah, I brought Dan from Poet's House. We're doing a food demo in September together at Newmarket Open Weekend. And Dan is just about to start at next week at the Gonville and Keys College. So I thought I might bring him along, show us a bit about his heritage, about Hungarian food, and then go from there, really. So, yeah.
So you're in between jobs at the moment. You've left one and you're about to start another one.
Well, I'm still in my old job.
Oh, you're still in your old job.
Yes, I got a week left there, and then I'll be going on to another one straight on.
Okay.
No breaks.
So I'm interested to know how you know all these chefs, because it seems to be like a bit of a union, like you know each other.
I don't know. It's just getting about there, really, isn't it? And then we all stick together. You know, chefs are just like...
You just find his contact details. So, hey, I'm a chef. And automatically, like, hey, I'm a chef too. Yeah, let's be friends.
We kind of get on, you know. We're just our own tribe at the end of the day. Cambridge.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I heard about Dan through the head chef at King's College. He put me in to know about Dan.
Yeah.
I did a bit of research on Dan and gave him a phone call and said, do you fancy doing a demo in September? And then Dan was like, yeah, let's do it. And I was like, come on, let's get on the radio and let's talk about your background and let's see what you got, really.
Okay.
You don't do social media, do you?
No, I'm not that type, no.
No. So tell us a bit about yourself and what's going on.
Well, I've been in this country for over 12 years now.
Yep.
And I arrived in Big Wood, London. And I went through the ladder of working in fine dining restaurants, crazy hours, and then decided to start a family and move to the beautiful countryside. And I'm here around Cambridge now. And, the job at Poet's has brought me here, which was quite exciting.
How long have you been there?
Near enough 2 years.
2 years?
Yeah.
And you've got quite a good reputation there, haven't you?
Well, I like to think so.
Well, from what I've heard, it's a fantastic reputation, hence why we've been in touch, really.
Yeah, well, you know, we put a lot of love and effort into what we are doing, and it shines where it comes through, like with everything in life, so it's good to hear that it goes all the way.
It's a lot of hard work, and catering is it's so much hard work, especially in this heat. You know, we're working at 30 degrees outside, and, you know, you've got the heat of the gas and so on. So, you know, it's nice that you... Because what I find when you're in the kitchen in this temperature is you just get tired and worn out, and, you know, you're there for 12 hours a day, and you just still got to push out the same consistency.
That's right.
So, how many guys you got on your team over at Poet's House?
Five, including me, plus two KPs.
Oh, wow. So quite a small team, really.
Well, it's tiny compared to 7 days operation, breakfast, lunch, dinner, afternoon teas, functions. So it's a lot going on.
Yep.
At some weeks. Last week, of course, when people are on absence and holidays, you got everything going at your way. But when they all back, it's quiet, so I can be here.
So what's one of your best-selling dishes that you do at the Poet's House?
Well, because we have a lot of... business people staying, you know, midweek is, I would say, it's a steak, you know, that's the biggest seller, but it's one thing you got to have on if you have a hotel, if you're a head chef in a hotel.
We find that 53% of our business is steak, but it's just something that people are comfortable with at the end of the day.
Yes.
But what would you say one of your specialities is over there?
Well, I like to go with the seasons, what everyone says, but there are a biggest selling dish now is it's a poached haddock with curry potato salad, which is a take on a British curry.
Okay.
And, you know, people loves it because it's, you know, it's very warm for the last few weeks, and it's a very refreshing, warmish dish.
Okay.
And obviously the fish is on the top of the list now because people want to have something easy and light.
Okay. So going on from Poet's House, what's the next stage for you as you're moving on?
The next stage in my career is going to be Gonville and Keys, which is amazing because it's brings a lot of heritage with it, and to take on a big role like that.
It's quite different from working in a hotel, I guess, isn't it?
It's very different, but it brings me back to my previous jobs because I used to do contract catering in London when I did too many hours to my partner's liking, and obviously I decided to step out from the hotel's kitchens and go into something which is more more friendly to your private life, and I did 4.5 years to one of the biggest contract caterers in the country, and because I have that on my pedigree, that's why I was considered to this role in Gonville and Keys. And
it's quite a bit of a transition then. You get from but then are you going to incorporate the food that you're doing now at Perry's House into the college that you're going to?
Well, the college has a young and a new management team for the last, not for a long time, and they started to make this transition already. So everything is prepared fresh on site. So you have a large brigade to accommodate that. So it's not something what it used to be, let's say, a decade ago when you had all this tin food revolution and you could buy everything in ready and prep, which you still can do. But since you have all these qualified, talented chefs in your team, you can put a bit of a pressure and have them prep everything. And it's, it comes to the point where the students and the fellows, I expect that to be prepped in-house and prepped to the highest standard.
The standards in the colleges are massive at the moment. There's some very talented chefs, which I've seen on social media and where I'm in contact with, and the standards that you're getting in the colleges now are, restaurant to free rosette quality, really.
Yeah, easily.
Yeah, but can local people just walk into your restaurant and have a meal at the college, or...?
Well, not on a daily basis, but if you would like to experience the history of the place, then you can always book a private function, or you can have your wedding there, or any sort of function, especially when the off-term time, you can get in there and book a private.
I was going to ask that, because to me, all of the Cambridge University colleges are all a bit of a secret world to most people that live in Cambridge. Yeah. So, to me, you're going to be the chef at Gonville and Keys, that's great, but I'm trying to think about what that means in my head and the sorts of... So the people that you're catering for are the students and effectively the staff and people that work there.
Yes.
So how does that differ from working in a hotel? Presumably you're still producing food, breakfast, lunch and dinner, are you?
Yes. Well, how it differs? It differs because you prepare something different every day, whereas in a hotel you got menus going on for months and weeks. And
so are you producing a few different things each day, or is people presumably they get what you produce? It's not they don't choose from a menu.
Is it kind of canteen style, or is it kind of like a la carte plated?
Well, it's semi plated, so you have the garnishes in the middle of the table, and you have the protein, let's say fish or meat, plated for the students, and they sit down in a Hogwarts style canteen, which is amazing.
And
really mesmerizing when you walk in there first, and then they get their meal served pretty much. And obviously you have the fellows and the staff, and they're getting really good healthy meal.
So you're saying that the standard generally of catering within the university has improved a lot in the last few years then?
I would say in the last decade, some people are more of a flagship flag bearer of that than others, but it's up to the universities to give the choice to the students. But as far as I know, this college tells the students that you actually got to have a meal with us, because you need to obviously learn and use your body and your brain to the highest capacity. So you need to feed that well.
The two colleges I'm really following at the moment is Corpus Christi. Their food is phenomenal from what I can see online. Right. And King's College, they're amazing. I've been there and worked in the kitchen with David, the head chef. And the food that they stick out is amazing. We were just talking about what you're going to be producing, but from what I can see, they're a very, very flexible team. You've got your students you're serving, and then you've got canapes in the summer, and then you're doing all these extra events on the side. It is a bit of a beast of a kitchen, can be, can't it?
It's
exciting times for yourself, really.
When you're doing this sort of catering, you miss the buzz and the excitement of the a la carte restaurant. Yeah. So it's a human nature not to.
It's one thing I look forward to on a Saturday night beast. You got tables of two coming in, and you can have 48 people booked in your restaurant fine dining, but then you got twos coming in. So every two just requires that extra attention. Yeah. But if you had a table of 48, it would be no pressure really.
Because
everybody's
what
individual.
You get. Yeah.
And the adrenaline from it. I have to go have a couple of pints because just to bring myself down to earth, you know. Yeah. But it's an amazing adrenaline rush, and I think that's why we do it, really. Isn't
exactly.
It?
Yeah, that's
as chefs.
What I mean.
Yeah.
So 80 to 90% of the time of chefing is prepping and boring.
Yeah.
Well, not so much boring, but not as exciting as the 10% where you go racing.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know, you jump in a car and then you
the hardest thing is getting your team going, really, I find. You know, that pre-service on a Saturday night, and you know, you got your team got kind of like not knowing what's going on. You've got, right, get this done, get that done, right, let's get ready, right, let's get on it, you know.
Yeah,
and it's straight into it. So it's like leading the team into battle, really.
Yeah, exactly.
What sort of personality are you then, Dan, in the kitchen? Are you fun to work with, or are you quite strict and people aren't keeping up with you, or...?
Well, you know, I have a couple of sides of me, to be honest. And it's just me saying that. So if you would ask my colleagues, they probably could tell you a better perspective. But
it is a very high-pressure environment, isn't it? And you are on deadlines, and if people aren't pulling their weight or doing what you want them to do, then you have to tell them about it.
Yeah, well, then you notice from the first step they make that day that whether they're going to perform well or not. So you know your stuff that well.
Yeah.
Because you spend a lot of time together, so...
Yeah, but it is also about motivating them as well.
Yeah, yeah, and that's the most difficult. You know, cooking, you learn over the years, but... The most difficult thing is being a head chef and a manager, running people, is to motivate them and make them do what you like and for the best ability. That's the most difficult.
It's also like listening to their personal lives and getting to know them a bit.
Oh yeah, it's,
you know,
very important.
You get to know them and it brings them on. And it's not also being a head chef, it's also being a bit of a father figure to them.
Exactly, yeah.
And guiding them through what's going on in the personal life, focus on this and then you can get this. And yeah, it's fantastic. It's a family at the end of the day.
It is. Yeah. It is the second family of every chef.
Are you taking any chefs with you when you leave?
I wouldn't like to call
he might be
there.
But he's not allowed to say on the radio. And with that, we'll take a break, we'll do some travel news and we'll come back, and Dan's brought some food in which we'll try and talk a bit more about his Hungarian heritage and food from Hungary, but travel news fine first. So we are continuing the Friday Food Club with Jamie Mountford and Dan, tell us your surname again.
Beriesi.
Thank you. From Poets House, soon to be Gonville and Keys College. So, you are from Hungary originally.
That's right.
What was it that brought you over? Well, not what was it that brought you over, but why did you choose to come over to the UK to continue your career as opposed to any other country?
I had friends here.
Right.
And so that was the connection. I have a dear friend of mine who's actually... his dad is English, so he lived in the UK for like 20 years now. And he always came back and we always used to go out together. And we grew up in the same area in Budapest. I'm from the capital of Hungary, but part of the family of mine, my mother's side, is from the southeast, from the country. And I always spend my holidays with her. And summer holidays, school holidays, and she had like an old-fashioned, like a farm girl mentality. So she had a couple of pigs, you know, and rabbits, hens, geese, duck, everything. I wouldn't go into the geese part of it, but so we had, you know, a lot of fruits and veg. So you get obviously four seasons there, not just one or two maybe. And so you had peaches, strawberries, you know, pears, all these fruits, which as a kid, you know, when you are 4 or 5 years old, a peach is like a meal for the day.
Yeah. So you've grown up with the fresh food.
Yeah, fresh food was food for us. Was like, okay, so what shall we have today? I would like roast chicken. So mom, you know, granny gone and
pulled the neck.
Pulled one up from the crowd.
Yeah.
And same with beans, you know, runner beans, where, you know, we just picked the beans and cooked it for lunch. Same with
So you just innovated.
That was just part of our part of the everyday life. Obviously. Good. On the summer months. And then we have these amazing food markets in every district. We have 20 odd districts in Budapest, and every district had like a massive food market, which all the surrounding areas, you know, the small old ladies brings up their own corpse and sell it for cheap, and then you go there like 4 or 5 in the morning to get the best of.
Yeah.
So you get your bits and pieces, what you need for a few days. No supermarkets at the time, we're talking in the 80s, 90s, you know. And then you get a piece of meat, you know, or whatever you like, because the...
A bit of this meat that you've got in front of us.
Something like this.
Tell us a bit about this.
Yeah, what I have here for you guys to try is some salamis and some chorizo-style charcuterie dried aged
it's Hungarian. Meat.
It's Hungarian. So one is the salami, which is one which of the oldest recipes, is the bigger one.
This
here.
One, yeah?
Yeah, so please do try that.
So is this the... tell us a bit about salami.
So thank this you. Salami...
Oh, it's lovely.
It's called pig salami.
Pig?
Pig, yeah. That's the family's name, the pig is. And they've been producing this same recipe since the early 1800s. And it's been produced for the same standards. And it's widely known around Europe. So obviously, because we were in the same...
So it's nice and consistent then.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's amazing.
And how much would this cost you?
A stick of 800 grams would cost you about 15 pounds plus... plus postage. You can get it in UK-based companies.
Yep. Can you get any of this down Mill Road?
I'm not sure, but you can order it on
Mill Road's quite good.
You can get everything down Mill Road.
Yeah,
can't
I was going to say.
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe we should go down there and try it out sometime. And what's this other one we've got?
The other one is my good friend's father's recipe. She brought it back from Hungary just yesterday.
Oh, it's lovely that.
And that's again. It's a part of the cut. So you kill a pig and you process it. Half of it goes to ham, half of it goes to
it's
roast.
It's got deep flavor, that.
Yeah.
What's in it?
Yeah, you got Hungarian paprika, of course, which is the best in the world.
Oh, wow.
If you didn't know until now.
Bold statement.
Yes. it is better than Spanish. Spanish, learn it from us. Don't tell anyone.
Oh, really?
Anyhow, so just to... Do you have cumin, which we call Roman cumin? Which is stronger than the normal. So you have two types of cumin. This is the Roman cumin and black pepper, and obviously there's no bread involved in there. It's just pure meat, mainly shoulder meat, skinless shoulder meat. You mix it up, and then you hang it, dry it, and then you cold smoke it.
That was absolutely lovely.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I've had some sharing meats like that. But yeah, I'll definitely have that around the table in the summertime with G&T, basically. Thank you very much for that.
Yeah, we always have that. If you go to someone's house and they offer you food, you don't eat, it's an offense, so you must eat. And then you shouldn't leave anything on the plate either. So if you go to Hungary, make sure you finish your plate nicely.
Okay. Oh, lovely. I'll finish that.
Yeah, no, certainly I'll be taking some of that home with me. Thank you very much. It's, that's right on my street. It's a charcuterie. Just talk to us quickly about the bread that you've baked as well.
So we bake bread every day in the hotel, and this break is a British take on my beautiful Hungarian bread. So it's a semi-sourdough with Marmite and onion seeds. And we bake this on a daily basis, and it's amazing, I think. So you got to try that as well.
Okay, yeah, I will.
Please.
Definitely. Well, and just take a piece of that, and I shall have some in a minute when we're done.
Mustard bread.
Yeah, lovely.
Love it.
Thank you very much. Give us quickly a reminder when the Newmarket
Newmarket Open Weekend is in September 16th and 17th. Myself and Dan will be doing separate demos. Also, some celebrity chefs will be turning up. So we've got one or two confirmed, but I'll let the press release speak for itself. Last year we had... can't remember who we had last year, but the year before that we had Sean Christophe in the Valley. So we're talking big names. So yeah, and it's all open stalls, all local produce. It's fantastic, it's passionate, it's great. So see you there.
Brilliant.
And Cambridge 105 will hopefully be there as well.
We will definitely be there. We'll just continue our contract negotiations and we'll sort that out. Cool, thank you very much, Jamie. Thank you, Dan.
You.
Nice to meet you. Good luck with the new job when you start.
Cheers.
in a couple of weeks' time. Jamie's back in a couple of weeks with the next Friday Food Club with Julian. Unfortunately, unless I manage to find a way of bumping him off between now and then and keeping this slot for myself. We'll check the travel news very quickly before we go. M11 still queuing traffic delay due to the accident around Junction 9 through to Junction 8, but the traffic is residing now. Pleased to report on that one. The A14 still slow traffic because of an accident earlier on involving a car and a coach between Junction 31 and Junction 32. Traffic back to 31, but all lanes have since reopened. Trains, check before you travel, basically, and also the same with flights in and out of Stansted Airport this evening. Neil Whiteside is next with the weekend warm-up. There won't be any travel in that show, though. It's one that he recorded earlier, So if you want the latest travel information, check our website, cambridge105.co.uk, before you leave. My thanks for listening today. I'll be back again on Drive very soon, no doubt. Julian, back with you again on Monday.